Thank you. It is a rather long title, as I'm aware. For those of you that have made it through the entire session, thanks for hanging in. I hope that I keep your interest, and thanks to the other presenters. I thought that they were all really interesting. I'm Rachel Hart. I also want to quickly thank Drs. McClamrock and Drs. Coles for being the co-authors on this, and Dr. McClamrock is also with us today, which I'm very happy about. So we know that among adolescents that violence and sexual behavior are interconnected due to common influences. Taking the ecological perspective, we know that there are individual, family, relationship, community, and societal traits that can influence violence and sexual behavior. Although parts of our study did examine some of these bubbles, I'm going to be focusing on the violence and sexual behavior piece exclusively. Now, there are different types of violence that an adolescent can be exposed to that are associated with an increased sexual risk, such as early initiation into sexual activity. Now, there's both violence victimization and violence perpetration that can influence one another and also have an independent effect on sexual risk in adolescence. So you'll see under each of these that there are differing types of violence, victimization, and perpetration that can fall into domestic, partner, sexual, and community types of violence. Now, the question arose regarding how the different types of violence are associated with sexual behavior in adolescence. So we specifically wanted to look at the effects of the differing types of violence perpetration and victimization on sexual activity. We also wanted to examine if there is the potential of a dose-response relationship regarding the types. So taking perpetration, for example, an adolescent who perpetrates partner violence and community violence, is that individual more likely to be sexually active than an adolescent who's perpetrating only community violence, for example? We are interested in looking at that for victimization types as well, and then looking at that combined, so perpetration and victimization types together. Our study population included adolescents between the ages of 14 and 18 that had participated in a summer youth employment program in Albany, New York, and that's where Albany is if you're unfamiliar, down here in Atlanta. Our final study population was 421 adolescents. Our data was collected cross-sectionally between June and August of 2008 on PDAs, which have been shown to improve the reliability and validity of sensitive topics, for adolescents answering sensitive topics, excuse me. All surveys were anonymous and confidential. We did obtain IRB approval, and we offered incentives for participation. We collected information on demographics, behaviors, and socio-environmental factors. Our outcome of interest was defined as self-reported sexual activity, which was ever being sexually active. That includes vaginal, oral, and/or anal. Our exposures were broken down into both self-reported perpetration and self-reported victimization. Our measures of perpetration were reporting ever having been in a gang, ever using a weapon, or ever committing partner violence. Our measures of self-reported victimization were reporting ever having been jumped, ever experienced domestic, partner, or sexual violence. Our analysis that we did included univariate analysis of our key variables. We'll present summary demographics. We also conducted bivariate analysis of our exposures of interest and our outcome. And lastly, our multivariable analysis included a log binomial regression. I'll present adjusted prevalence ratios, adjusted for race, gender, and age. Our respondents were roughly 60% female. Almost three-quarters were African-American, and almost 60% reported living in a low-income zip code. Roughly three-quarters of our respondents were ages 14, 15, and 16 years old combined. The remaining quarter were 17 and 18 years old, with our smallest proportion being 18-year-olds at 6% only. This is our respondents' report of perpetration. So you see on the bottom of the graph are our three measures of perpetration and the corresponding proportion of our respondents reporting those types of perpetration. And you see that a third of our population reported any type of violence perpetration. Here are our respondents' reports of victimization. Again, on the bottom are our measures of violence victimization or types of violence victimization, with the largest being ever experiencing domestic violence at almost 42%. You see that roughly 60% of our respondents reported any type of violence victimization. Looking at this combined, you see that only 6% of our respondents reported perpetration only, 31% reported victimization only, 27% reported both perpetration and victimization, leaving only 36% of our respondents reporting neither. Little less than half of our respondents reported ever being sexually active at 43%, which is pretty consistent with the national figures currently. Sexual activity was higher among participants reporting any type of violence perpetration, which is on the top of the table, and violence victimization on the bottom of the table. So here I'm presenting prevalence ratios, and you see with violence perpetration, our prevalence ratios ranged from 1.6 to 2.0. Regarding violence victimization, our prevalence ratios ranged from 1.5 to 2.3. Here's some results of the multivariable analysis. This is the association between number of types of perpetration experiences and sexual activity. So this is a respondent reporting one type of perpetration versus zero, two types versus zero, and three types versus zero. And the larger bars here are prevalence ratios, the smaller bars being the confidence intervals. And so this does appear to show a suggestion of a dose-response relationship. However, our prevalence ratio for 3 versus 0 is unstable. We had a low number in that strata, so that is why that confidence interval is so large. But it's clear to conclude that two or more types of violence perpetration, we see a higher sexual activity in that group. Here is the association between the number of types of victimization experiences and sexual activity. Again, we see one type of violence victimization versus zero. We had an additional measure, that's why you'll see four bars here instead of three. And here we can very clearly see a dose-response relationship. So as we increase in the number of types of violence victimization, we see an increase in the prevalence ratio as well. And lastly, looking at these combined, we see the association between the types of victimization and/or perpetration and sexual activity. We see that respondents reporting both perpetration and victimization were more likely to be sexually active than those reporting either only one or none. So in conclusion, adolescents who reported violence perpetration and/or victimization were more likely to be sexually active. We did see a positive association between the number of types of violence and sexual activity, though that was less clear for our perpetration measures, as we saw earlier. We can say that within this population that violence experiences and sexual activity are in fact co-occurring. There are several limitations to our study. Initially, it is based on self-report and our measurements were regarded as ever or never. The data was collected cross-sectionally and generalizability could be an issue as this was conducted in a smaller urban setting. And lastly, one of our perpetration measures, ever having been in a gang, is not a direct measure of perpetrating violence, but those do tend to co-occur, being in a gang and perpetrating violence. So many adolescent health programs can target either sexual health or violence. We believe that this study implicates that programs that deal with them as interconnected are greatly needed. Any questions? Yes, we actually didn't see major differences by gender, so actually all of those, the comparison of types were all adjusted for gender. It actually, that was brought up not so long ago, and that's interesting that it's not modified by gender.
And then did you stratify by types of violence?
So meaning, looking more at that slide initially that has the prevalence ratios regarding type. Is that what you're asking? I'm sorry, I'm unclear.
Yes.
Okay, we only did those unadjusted and then combined them together, but I think that would be interesting to put that in. Yes.
How did you define
domestic violence?
It was ever having been slapped, hit, or pushed, I believe, were the third by an adult member, or kicked, thank you, Dr. McClamrock, by an adult member in a household, and then partner violence was forced for sexual relation, any type of emotional abuse with a current partner. Yes. Yes.
You may have mentioned this, but I missed it. Did you define sexual activity as consensual sexual activity?
We did not.
Because it would be interesting to, when you look at those dose response curves, the more victimization that occurred, the more likely they were to be sexually active. Is that because that third or fourth victimization was actual rape?
Right. No, that's very interesting. Yes. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Well, I think this is related to
that, but sorry. That's okay. You're not a sir, but go ahead. So someone that has a partner being more likely to experience partner violence than someone who's not.
Yeah.
So looking at it as someone who's, I see what you're saying. Right, right. No, no, I. Right. No, no. Yeah, and we're not, you know, again, this was cross-sectional, and so we're not at all trying to say that this is causal at all, but that they are co-occurring and more that they're connected. Yeah. I'm sorry, this.
Did you ask about sexual orientation?
Did we ask about sexual orientation?
Yes, we did. I don't think there were any differences, but we can go
back and check that. Yeah. That we did, but we didn't look at the data in that.
We had very few adolescents
who said that they were not heterosexual,
explained
heterosexual. Any other
questions? Yes, ma'am. I just want to be clear.
Yes.
But under perpetration, would fighting be under community violence? You know, because there's an increasing girls fighting, so.
We didn't measure fighting as a measure of perpetration. We measured ever having been in a gang using a weapon was how we had measured that. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.